Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I'm so excited. I have Dr. Jen with me from Acorn Chiropractic Club. She is going to blow our minds about everything that you need to know when it comes to having a membership model inside of chiropractic. And I just am really excited to get to learn more about her too. I know that she teaches for the ICPA and she does amazing things for our profession. So thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's dive right into it. I know you have a lot of chiropractors in your family, so kind of tell me your intro to chiropractic.
I was 45 minutes old and got my dad is a chiropractor, so we grew up in his office, kind of. We homeschooled in the back of his office because we're weird homeschool chiropractic family. So we grew up in his practice. We kind of saw really the miracles of chiropractic every day in his practice. He worked 6 days a week. And it was like growing up, we kind of took it for granted that like we were the weird family eating organic before that was like a thing. You know, We would eat real food. We didn't really ever take medications. We never went to a medical doctor unless our arm was like falling off, you know, things like that. And so growing up in that world, I just thought that that was normal. Didn't really realize until I got into college that like not every man, woman, and child was under chiropractic care. And I was like, you know, because even in high school, like I did go to a small private high school, but I think everybody was under chiropractic care. It was a Christian high school. So like people were a little more naturally minded. And so, it really wasn't until college. My friend was like, I've just been having these terrible headaches. And I was like, well, what does your chiropractor say? And she was like, I don't have a chiropractor. And I was like, what are you even doing with your life? Like, what do you mean you don't have a chiropractor? And I was going into law enforcement. And because I had seen my dad's practice and just how like beautiful it was and rewarding it was, on the flip side, the business aspect of it was hard. And I started working at his office. I mean, I don't know. I was probably like 6 or 7. We would get to change out the face paper and you know, do little things. And we saw how difficult the practice was. My dad was very heavily into insurance, work comp, PIs. When I was 16, I remember taking over his billing department. And he had $350,000 in outstanding bills, like that was owed to him from insurance company. And it was my entire job was to sit there at 16 years old and like argue with insurance companies to pay us for services rendered. Which was fun because I like to argue, but hence why I was going to law school. But it was really interesting to kind of be like, I don't know about you, but most people could use an extra $350,000 in their bank rather than outstanding bills. And I was like, well, but how much money and time is going into billing? My full-time job is collecting money. And so that kind of was like, ugh. And then in 2000, we had Arnold Schwarzenegger took over California and basically overnight changed how work comp was received and done for chiropractors. And about 80% of my dad's practice fell through, like just overnight. And it was really scary. It was a really big pivotal moment for him. He had been in practice like almost 20 years. Just to have that taken from you like overnight was really devastating to us as a family. So kind of like, I was like, I never want to be my own boss.
Yeah.
Like I want to work for someone else, be secure and safe.
Have that stability. Yeah.
And then I started working for people and I was like, I never want to work for other people. So that was kind of the trajectory. And then my husband had a career in computer science before chiropractic, because he's now a chiropractor. And he started working in my dad's office to help him. My dad had gotten platinum systems, like the EHR system. And my dad is old. And so he was like, I don't understand this computer stuff. My husband was like, I will help you set it up. Got it all set up. And while my husband was there, he started to see like how incredible chiropractic was and really fell in love with the philosophy of chiropractic and was like, you know, I think I want to be a chiropractor. And I was like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. And he was like, no, I'm going to become a chiropractor. So started going to seminars with my dad, saw Reggie Gold speak. And my husband was like, that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. Like that fulfills me. And I was like, all right, let's go check it out. So we live about an hour north of Life West. And okay. So we drove down there and Jerry Klum was doing like an open house and gave his chiropractic story. And I'll bastardize it and sum it up really quickly. But basically, when he was a child, he was going blind and his medical doctor told his dad, go see the Grand Canyon, go see what you can because your child is going blind and he's going to be completely blind, you know, I don't know, within a year or so. Wow. And so this was during the time that chiropractic was illegal. And so Jerry's dad started taking him to a chiropractor. And within a little while, he went back to the medical doctor and the medical doctor said, it's a miracle. Like his eyes are so much better. We don't think he's going to go blind. What have you been doing? And he said, we started taking him to a chiropractor. And Jerry said the medical doctor had a cigarette in one hand, the like ophthalmoscope in the other hand, and was like, I wouldn't take my dog to a chiropractor. And I remember that just like lit a fire under me. And I was like, why? Like, why would you let a child go blind because you have this philosophical difference of what chiropractic is? And I was like, that makes no sense. So we're driving home and I'm like, I want to go to chiropractic college too. And my husband was like, okay, but what? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, but I want to specialize in prenatal and pediatric care because if we can get moms under chiropractic care early on throughout her pregnancy, it seems like pregnancy would go better because we see that in my dad's office. And I said, and then you're taking care of babies and children and they're developing and growing healthy nervous systems. So that just kind of makes sense. My husband was like, well, that's great, but you hate kids and pregnancy totally freaks you out. And I'm like, I will get over that and figure it out. Then we decided to go together. And about 2 months before we started chiropractic college, we found out we were pregnant with our first. We had been married for 5 years and started trying not to get pregnant and got pregnant. So we went through chiropractic college we started then when he was 2 months old, we started chiropractic college.
Wow.
Went through chiropractic college. And really during that time, just fell in love with birth and mm-hmm. pregnancy and kids, and all the reasons why I didn't like kids are still totally valid. Like they're gross, they're sticky, they smell, and they're loud, all the reasons. But now I would much rather talk to a child than an adult.
I'm like, yeah,
swung the other way, fairly awkward. And so talking to adults, I'm like, talking to children, I'm good.
So then did you guys end up joining your dad's practice after you graduated or did you guys start your own thing?
No, I mean, my dad's practice was awesome. He was a quote unquote mixer chiropractor. He did all kinds of therapies and stuff. And we knew that just wasn't for us. I have many mixer chiropractor friends and I love them and I appreciate all aspects of chiropractic, but it's just not what we wanted to do. We wanted to have a really straightforward, simple chiropractic practice. And, so we kind of had to break it to him over like 3.5 years that we were not going to join his practice. We also knew that we didn't want to do any insurance. We didn't mm-hmm. want to play that game. And we knew that we needed to make chiropractic affordable for people. And that was the biggest thing. I come from a family of 7 people. So there are 5 kids and my mom and dad. And really like my dad wouldn't have been able to afford his fees for all of us to be under consistent chiropractic care. So that never really sat right with me. So it was kind of like going through school, like how can we make chiropractic affordable? And so it was right around the time that Netflix was like becoming a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked to Reggie. Reggie Gold was a big mentor of ours. And he was talking about Box on the Wall, which, you know, is basically you have a box on the wall and people just put cash in and leave. And you kind of pay what you can. And I was like, yeah, but nobody carries cash anymore. Right. And like, yeah. I don't want a mom that has three kids to like have to go to the ATM, get cash out, and then bring it to my office. I don't really want to have an ATM in my office, you know, like, so what could we do? And it was around that time. And we just kept kind of going back to what if we made chiropractic just an essential part of life that mm-hmm. people didn't have to make the choice about. And it was just on a recurrent membership thing. As we got more and more into it, it was like, well, we started seeing people that, you know, I mean, we were in chiropractic college, we were poor and our friends were poor and people had Netflix accounts, you know, and some of them were borrowing their parents' passwords or whatever, but a lot of them had Netflix. And I was like, well, are you going to cancel your Netflix next month? And they're like, no. And it was like, because it's just become an integral part of your life, right?
Yeah.
And so kind of looking at the membership model and how that really is like sustainable for families over time, that sort of begin the process of creating the membership model for our practice.
And so for the listeners who might not ever have heard of what a membership model is or what that looks like, can you break that down for them? Is that like, obviously it's a monthly fee or is it an annual fee? What does that look like?
Yeah. So we have it mostly set up. I would say, so what it looks like is you pay a monthly fee that gives you access to the office. So it's not a per visit type of mm-hmm. situation. It's not a per visit exchange. It's more like, and I hate to like, one, when I talk about membership models and people don't understand it, sometimes people are like, well, you're devaluing chiropractic. And not really, in the same way that having a membership to a gym is not devaluing fitness, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a different way. You can have private sessions with a fitness trainer person and pay them each time, or you can have access to the gym and go
as needed. Yeah,
as needed. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of coming from this idea, one, that we believe people should get checked regardless of the presence or absence of symptoms once a week, kind of throughout mm-hmm. their life to help maintain optimal function of the nervous system. Everything is kind of predicated on that. Mm-hmm. So the membership, we primarily have a monthly membership fee. We have it broken down where it's either an individual membership, so one person, or a family, which is partners and dependent children. We are about 45 minutes north of San Francisco. So we've had some people ask about like thruples and all that kind of stuff. We are, you know, it's always very colorful. It's two adults and their dependent children.
Yep.
Thruples are extra. So yeah, it's kind of, it includes the family. And in chiropractic college, we had to come up with our business plan and write our business plan. And our teacher read our business plan basically to how we have our office now. And he was like, this is crazy. Like, you will never make any money. You'll have people that come in with 10 kids. And we're like, we live in the North Bay of California. Like, nobody has 10 kids.
Yeah.
Famous last words. So he failed us. He failed that assignment, told us to rewrite it. So we had to rewrite our business plan exactly how my dad ran his business is what we did, mm-hmm. knowing good and well we weren't going to do it that way. And so we took our failed business plan, opened our practice, and here we are 10 years later. And what I will say is the first family that we had come in, it was mom and dad and a 15-year-old girl, and they're sitting there and we describe the membership model. And the dad goes, well, how many people are in a family? And we were like, well, it's you, partner, independent children. And he goes, well, we have 10 kids. I was like, oh no. I call my husband after they leave and I'm like, it's never going to work. We have 10 kids. The interesting thing about that is it turned out he was a pastor of a church.
Mm.
And what pastors love to do is talk. And when they find a good thing and like a good deal, they're going to tell other people. So for the first 2 years, I would say about 25% of our referrals strictly came from that family.
Wow.
they really grew our practice in that first couple years, which was awesome. And it's been 10 years. They're still under chiropractic care. Mm-hmm. They have now their families, their children have gone on to get married and have their own children. So now they have their own memberships. And it's just really been like a part of their life for the last 10 years, which I think is really, really neat. Yeah.
That's amazing. And that's what I think most of us, especially if we're in a pediatric prenatal model that really is trying to get people to incorporate chiropractic as part of their lifestyle. Like that's the goal, right? You want people under care for life because you want to help them through every stage, knowing that they're going to live longer and have healthier, more prosperous lives if they're under your care that long. So based on that, like opening your first practice and having this membership model, how and when did you decide, okay, now it's time to kind of bring this model to the masses and maybe open more locations, bring on several chiropractors, because I think you guys have 16 total that work.
Yeah, 16 total. Yeah.
So, and then being like, hey, we're going to teach this to other chiropractors too. Like, what did that process look like?
So we thought we made it up. We thought we really made up this model. Mm-hmm. Turns out we sort of reinvented a wheel, I suppose. But it sort of happened all really, really organically. We started the practice, and about 2.5 years in, I got pregnant with our second son. And so we started trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to make this work? Because at that point, it was just me and my husband. We also have no other staff. So we're kind of still to this day, everyone that works in our office is a chiropractor.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So we have no staff other than chiropractors. Amazing. We hired our first associate, and at that time, she was with us about 1.5 years and went through the pregnancy, and then she transitioned, left, and then by the time I had come back from maternity leave, it was really evident that while I was gone, we had also continued to grow. And mm-hmm. so when I came back, the need for us to hire a third chiropractor really was there. And we hired our first associate that was really supposed to be long-term. Mm-hmm. And she's been with us now. It's been 6.5 years. She's still with us. Solid, great employee. So it was the three of us and we continued to grow. And when you have more people, you have more time, you have more availability. And so we just sort of continued to grow. And we look back and we're like, okay, well, now we need a fourth chiropractor. And when we actually interviewed two chiropractors at the same day, and we fell in love with both of them, and we were like, we have to hire both of them. How are we going to fit five chiropractors in our 1,000-square-foot office? Like, and so then I was like, well, what if we opened another location? So our primary location, initially, we opened in Petaluma, California, which is about 45 minutes north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And the largest city in Sonoma County is where we are, is Santa Rosa, which Santa Rosa is at least double the size of Petaluma. And we looked at it and we had about 25% of our population, like of our practice base, was coming from Santa Rosa to Petaluma, which geographically, they're only about 20 minutes apart, but it's not normal for anybody to go from Santa Rosa to Petaluma, because yep. like going from the big city to the little town. And so I said, you know, we love both of these chiropractors. Let's hire both of them and start a satellite office mm-hmm. and move the 25% up there. And we found like a 750 square foot office up there. And we're like, this is going to be our little satellite office. First day in that location that we were open, it was me and another chiropractor, and we saw 100 people in that wow. day. And I think like 8 new mm-hmm. patients. And we were like, okay, well, this might be a little bit different than what we were planning on. So we started to just grow that practice, and we did a 5-year lease. Within 4 years, we had completely outgrown it. So we moved into a different building. We actually bought the building that we moved into in Santa Rosa, moved in there, opened more, and from that just continued to have to hire people. We got into, so that was in 2018, we started our second location. Then obviously March, so at that point we had six chiropractors. Mm-hmm. We were doing, and it was great. It was fun. It was, and we had people keep asking us like, well, would you open an office in this location? Would you open an office in this location? You know, and we're like, oh man. And really what became very apparent was the need for our type of practice. I mean, mm-hmm. we have people driving over an hour, over 2 hours with their family once a week just to get adjusted and see us. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up getting into COVID times. And right before March 1st, we had hired 2 more chiropractors. And then COVID hit. Now, the interesting thing about COVID is I think it was like March 17th and 18th. Within those 2 days, we had 100 memberships either cancel or pause or mm-hmm. whatever. And we were like, oh no, this is bad, right? My husband and I absorbed as much of the cost as we could. And then we went to our staff and we were like, hey, this is getting to be scary territory. So what we're going to do is everybody works 4 days a week. We're going to drop everybody down to 3 days a week because people aren't coming in. You know, people mm-hmm. are scared from the thing. And so we'll drop it down to 25. We'll drop down your hours 25%. We calculated it out. If we drop you, but we need to reduce your pay, we could reduce it by 10%. So ostensibly they got a raise per
raise,
hour.
Yeah. But,
mm-hmm. you know, and so everybody was like, yeah, I mean, let's just do it. We did that for 2 weeks and then we started picking back up again. I think people got less freaked out, whatever. And we did that. And then within a month, we were able to go back and pay everybody back their full salary. So they ended up being reduced 25% of working, but they ended up getting paid their full salary.
The same, yeah.
We just, you know. And then after that, I had a good friend that herniated his disc to the point of no repair. He needed spinal surgery, which as chiropractors, we're always like,
ugh. Yeah.
But really, it was sequestered. I mean, it needed to be taken out. He had foot drop, all the yep. horrible things. So ended up getting spinal surgery. So I covered his practice in Napa for a couple months. And after a while, it became clear that his recovery was going to take a lot longer than we had originally anticipated. So in September of 2020, I kind of flippantly said to him, hey, what do you think about Acorn Napa? And we'll buy your practice from you. And he was like, let me think about that. And we ended up buying the practice from him. He was practicing out of his mom and dad's extra like spare bedroom. He had a table mm-hmm. in the bedroom. And so it was a small practice, but we were like, we'll buy it from you. And then we'll hire you on to help us with like, basically like social media stuff. Cause he's kind of a nerd with social media. And we opened our third location in October of 2020, kind of accidentally. It wasn't, we didn't really intend to be in Napa. Napa's completely on the other side of, there's a huge, the Sonoma Mountains. So it's about an hour away from where we live, and opened that practice. And we've just been growing that practice. So then we needed to hire more chiropractors to bring them on.
Do your chiros, yeah. most of them, are they like part-time or full-time, or do you have a mix of both?
So we don't have any part-time. All of our chiropractors are full-time. Everybody works 4 days a week and they're 9.5 hour shifts. Unless you work Saturdays, Saturdays is a 5 hour shift, but you get paid as a full day because nobody okay. wants to work Saturdays. So that's kind of a compromise.
I love that. So have you navigated, this was one thing that I talked a little bit about with Dr. Steph Lives, because we both have associates that are like getting ready to go through maternity leave. And it's kind of our first time navigating that. Have you had that happen in your practice, like employing so many chiros, and how has that yeah. been?
Well, in this year, from March of last year to right now, we have had 6 babies born.
Oh my goodness.
In our practice. So we have navigated maternity leave, paternity leave, paid family leave. Yeah, all of it. Obviously for the dads, it's not as all consuming during the pregnancy. I mean, it's great that they get to be partners and all of that, but I mean, really, you know, yeah. there's a big difference. Now, what I will say is the 5-week window of when babies could be born, the 37 to 42 weeks or whatever, it's actually a lot harder for our male chiropractors or our non-birthing partners to figure out, because do we put them on the schedule? Because at right. any point they could get a call like, hey, I'm in labor, and obviously they're going to go. So if that actually is really more difficult. For our maternity leave, they go out. We've had I'm number four. I'm on leave right now. I'm 37 weeks today. So I've been out for...
Are you losing your mind yet?
Yeah. Well, we're actually moving tomorrow. So I've spent the entire week packing. So
sounds about right on a typical maternity leave.
Yeah. So we've had four women go out this year, and then two other women have babies in the practice prior to this year. My thing is, I think this might be the only time I'm going to say we're fortunate to live in California, because California kind of sucks right now. But our maternity leave in California and our disability leave and paid family leave is actually really, really a lot better than most states.
Wow.
We pay into the state. Our chiropractors get to go out at 36 weeks if nothing is like wrong. We did have a chiropractor go out at 32 weeks because she was having some problems. So she went out on disability. Disability in California is paid between like 55 and 65%. So most of our chiropractors make about the same from their disability as they are making in the office. They don't get taxed on the disability. Yep. So they're bringing home the same amount. So most of them go out at 4 weeks prior. And then in California, if it's a vaginal birth, you get 6 weeks paid disability afterwards. If it's a C-section, you get 8 weeks paid after birth. And then you get paid family leave, which is an additional 8 weeks that is really for people who are birthing partners, non-birthing partners, people adopting children, people fostering kids, you know, any of that. So we've had most of our chiropractors in total are taking about 20 weeks off.
Wow.
And getting paid for it.
That's awesome.
And it's not through us. It's through, I mean, we've paid into it with state disability insurance, and so have they. But that whole situation, I will say, is we're fortunate with that in California, sort of.
There's other things you have to deal with, but we'll focus on the positive, right?
So, you know, so that is really good, as opposed to I talk to other chiropractors in other states and they're like, we don't get any, like nothing. Yeah. And I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah.
So it has goods and bads. But yeah, so we've had people take 20 weeks off. And then when they come back, I'm a big proponent of like, they're our family. I'm going to take care of them. And so they bring their babies. Typically, when they come back, they'll adjust for an hour and then they get an hour of nursing if they're nursing. And then they get a break. So they're there the whole shift, but they're working basically half the time.
Mm-hmm.
If the office is busy or whatever, they might be the ones answering the phones and taking on more of like the CA responsibilities at that point, while they're nursing, because you can answer the phone typically.
Totally. Yeah.
But for the most part, they're welcome to bring their babies and just have them there. We have a lot of our chiropractors just will put the baby on the floor, which is great because not a lot of babies get a ton of tummy time. And so they're getting tummy time. They're going through their developmental milestones. They're reaching those, or they're wearing them. And so they're adjusting while they're wearing them. And I think it's really great because I don't know of many jobs where you can just bring your baby to work.
Totally.
So far, my second son, we brought him to work until he was about 18 months old. He was quite psychotic, but you know, whatever. Most of the babies make it about 10 months to a year. And then mom decides, hey,
it's too much.
We haven't had to be like, hey, you got to get your kid out of here, which I think is also a testament to the respect that our chiropractors are providing to us and like the office. And,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I want them to take as much time as they need off, one, to like kind of be human again. And then also when they come back, they're more than welcome to bring their baby. The male chiropractors, they could bring their babies if they wanted to. They just don't lactate. So it's not, so far we haven't really had like a need for that. They needed to, like, you know, we do have one chiropractor who has a kid in first grade and he picks up his kid and kid comes to the office and hangs out in the back room after.
Yeah.
We want to take care of our chiropractors so that they can take care of other people.
Yeah, I think that's so important and such a good thing to really just even focus on a little bit here before we close is it's up to us to take care of each other. Like, we're already so isolated, you know, in a sense of like, we do life a different way than most humans do. We live different. We think differently. And I recorded an episode a couple of weeks ago about like, why do we have that saying in our profession that we eat our young? And if you want to be a part of that change, you do what you're doing. You become successful in your own right. And then you create an environment for others to thrive in, you know, to have that work-life balance and to have that opportunity to fulfill their other dreams, like having a family, or for one of my docs, it's like traveling. So great. I want to give you a ton of PTO so you can travel, you know? And it's like, how can we just be better about creating better environments? So I love that you even mentioned that, of what that looks like in your practice, to be able to give others an idea of how they could create it in their own.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole eating their young thing is so, I don't know, it's so like last generation.
Yeah. So 1970s. Yeah.
Right. I feel like to really create a environment and cultivate a society of change, the best thing that we can do is start within ourselves. And mm-hmm. we've had chiropractors leave, and I legitimately can say, like, it is well with my soul. I love them all. We've had three of our chiropractors leave and open membership practices. Oh, and it's awesome. Like, what a testament to how, like, not like, I mean, to like pat ourselves on the back, but like, what a testament to like how we've not only changed the lives of our community, but then we've been able to impact Northern Idaho and Denver, Colorado, and yep. Fresno, you know, and we've been able to kind of spread that message and create more membership model practices that serve people in the same capacity. And I just think it's really flattering to have mm-hmm. people kind of mimic what we're doing. And it's also like, it's a big responsibility. You know, during COVID, like, we took it very seriously that we had at the time, I think 10 other chiropractors dependent on us for their livelihood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was like, I did not take that lightly. And we made decisions that we wouldn't have necessarily made mm-hmm. if we didn't have other people dependent on us. We wore the stupid mask for a lot longer than we would have. Most chiropractors in mm-hmm. our town were like, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. And I'm like, I fully get that. And I think that whole nonsense is totally ridiculous. But on the flip side, I've got 10 other chiropractors that are dependent on mm-hmm. us. So we need to make choices that are like, smart for all parties involved. And like, we had our truth, we had our opinions, mm-hmm. but I was not going to let that compromise mm-hmm. my other chiropractor's livelihood. And I think that that's a big thing, is like, I had a meeting this morning talking about like, how do you measure success? Mm-hmm. And to me, I measure success as not only my personal growth and success, but how well my chiropractors are doing. And sometimes that looks different to other people. Like mm-hmm. in my mind, my success is phenomenally different than one of my chiropractors who, they want to come to work, adjust. They love our practice and they love our practice members. But when they leave, they get to go home mm-hmm. and they get to be mom or they get to be dad. And they don't have to do all the other extracurriculars that drive me and that I love doing. But they're no less successful or unsuccessful because mm-hmm. of what they're doing or not doing. And I really love creating an environment for chiropractors, especially female chiropractors, because a lot of times what I see and what I grew up with is like, oh, that chiropractor used to be a chiropractor and then they had kids.
Yep.
Okay, but what if they could do both? What if we created an environment like, my next move that I would love to do is get an office big enough that had a semi-daycare attached to it for our chiropractors. I think just taking care of people and kind of like that whole eating their young thing, I still see chiropractors offering chiropractors a very low salary. And I'm like, yep. Okay, but how are you going to eat? Yeah. How are you going to live? Like, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, we want to create an environment where we provide a thrivable salary. I have no qualms about paying people because of the membership model. Everybody mm-hmm. sees everybody. Mm-hmm. So they're not like 16 little practices within our practice. Yep. Everybody sees, you know, everybody.
It's collaborative.
And so, yeah. And because we don't have any other staff, we have high volume chiropractors and we have lower volume chiropractors, but our low volume would still, for the most part, be considered high volume. But the lower volume ones just pick up more of like the slack as far as paperwork and, you know, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And so it just works out beautifully and everybody supports everybody. I always talk about like, there's no room for ego. We're all mm-hmm. awesome. We know that, but there's no room. There's no room for ego, you know, and it's like early on, you know, it's easy, you know, obviously or not obviously, but I mean, I've been doing this now 10 years and I have my name pretty well established in our community. I'm on maternity leave right now. I don't want people calling me, asking me, you know, to see their babies and stuff. So I'm like, no, I've trained my chiropractors so well that they're who I'm going to take my babies to. They're just my kids. And really having that trust of like, if you want to have better competent associates, mm-hmm. train them. Put in time and effort and do things like this year. We just started a new program where we're going to be contributing to their student loan, like, payments. We pay into retirement. They have health insurance through us. They mm-hmm. get paid time off. We pay for all their CE. We pay for their certifications. We pay for a lot of stuff that people are like, wow, it's not just the salary that they're making, totally. But they also don't have all of these other expenses that people mm-hmm. don't think about. But for me, I want them to feel so well taken care of and so happy and appreciated that mm-hmm. that's really our goal, is to train them. And if they go and open another practice, I'm not worried that they're going to be messing people up. I'm not worried right. that they're, you know, I'm like, awesome. There's another fabulous chiropractor. Because, I mean, quite frankly, we have a lot of shitty chiropractors in the world. Yeah. And so if we cannot eat them and we can train them to be better versions of themselves, I just think that we have a mission, and like, I've been in practice long enough now that I'm like, no, like we can do this. We don't need to just be like, oh yeah, it's just the way that it is that you eat your young. No, that's unacceptable.
Totally. Totally. I love that. And I love this discussion because it's even inspired me to be like, okay, how can I even, I like to pride myself. I think I take care of my girls really well, but it's just nice getting to talk to other people and get new ideas. You know, what else could we add on? Or could we just make the experience more wholesome or more holistic in nature, you know? And so I love that. Right. In closing, I love to ask every single guest that comes on the podcast, what wealthy means to you?
Ooh. I think balance. I think so much emphasis on wealth is put into like financial wealth. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you have experienced loss or lack of health, wealth can really be all-encompassing. I think balance is really important. I love making money. I love being in a position where we have money, and I love helping other people make money. The flip side to that is time is something so precious that you don't necessarily get back. And looking at it, I have a almost 14-year-old son. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he has gone through chiropractic college with us. He's opened our practice with us. He's done all of these things. And I'm looking at it going, we have 4 more summers with him. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. How much money would I pay to have time back? And it's kind of morbid or like, I don't know, sad. But the reality is, he's not going to be a little kid for that much longer. He's not a kid. And so I think wealth really for me is balance, is really figuring out, yes, I love making money, but also like, how can we be healthy? How can we be connected as a society and with our children? And I want my kids to grow up in a better world than we grew up in. I think wealth is balance.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. To me, it means having time to do the things that we want to and spend it with who we love the most, you know, which essentially is what you're saying. Like, we love our patients and we love taking care of them, but it's not only that aspect of building this prosperous life. So thank you so much for joining us. And where can the listeners connect with you? On Instagram is where I'm connected with you. Is that the best place?
Yeah, Instagram's great. I think I'm just Jen Santos, DC.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.